minus 1 minute.
Ding, 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 ding. Women have been on the like vibration technology train for like decades.
Did he have the legendary wrench that I've heard he has?
What's Dean got to do with it?
It's not really the dick, it's the balls. Cock talk with Locke. I knew I'd get it in, James.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a ding.
I'm coming in there with a two-finger cul-de-sac. I'm going to tickle them pink, and they're going to get a dose of Bonzi.
To me, relationships are like a leash. And
yours and didn't go well, right?
No.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
Welcome to the Dean Blundell Show. My name is Dean, and we've got a full complement today. Everybody is in the house. When they say, hey, who's in the house? Everybody is in the house. And the reason why we're all here today is we're going to talk a little bit about something that a few of us, well, all of us here know a lot about. Some know less, some know more. I would put myself at the bottom of the scale when it comes to the subject, just because we've got a guy here that does radio that's been doing it a lot, and he's got jars of it. I think he makes jams with cannabis. Chris Bodden is here from Big 101 in Barrie. He's also part of the DeanBlundell.com network. And that network, podcast network, Chris's podcast is called the Big Chris Podcast. Hey, Chris, how you doing, bud?
Hey, hello. Hello, everyone.
Great to have
you. Morning, Chris.
Great
to be part of this esteemed group.
Yeah, nice to see you. Speaking of esteemed, it gets a little bit better than you and me, no offense. Jessica Ferniho is here as well. She's back. She's the queen of cannabis. That's what I like to call her. Registered practical nurse. Is that correct? Is it RPN?
That's correct, yeah.
Is that what you are, an RPN?
Yeah.
And like a...
Yes, sir.
But what's the cannabis portion? Like, you've got the... Obviously, we've talked a ton about it, but like RPN plus your cannabis guru. You're like the Obi-Wan of cannabis.
Oh, that's sweet. You know what? A registered practical nurse, meaning I'm regulated through the College of Nurses of Ontario.
Right.
And so I work, you know, with my team of RPNs that do a number of different things in healthcare, but I've began specializing in cannabinoid therapy 8 years ago.
Okay.
So I took what I had learned in the field, worked in the ER, worked with, you know, Hopewell Children's Homes, spent time with pediatrics and things like that. And then decided at one point that I was really going to focus on cannabinoid therapy. And that's really where I've placed my focus over the last 8 years.
Yeah. And you're super fun too. Almost, I don't want to say crazy, Chris. Like, you, I wouldn't call Jess crazy, but like, she gets crazy. Right?
She gets an
energetic personality.
Yeah. And Paul Sadu joins us from Black Rose Organics, official partner, cannabis partner of DeanBlundell.com. And Paul has been in the game, so to speak. And it's always a great for a long time, always an awesome fucking day when a new LP opens up. A new licensed producer of cannabis. And if you've kind of been on the surface of this industry in Ontario or in Canada, specifically in Ontario, which is where we are, you know that things have been up and things have been down. You know that things have gone well and things haven't. You've seen the boom, you've seen the bust, now the boom again. And this boom is really cool because Paul is one of those guys with his friend Majed and our gang over at Black Rose Organics. Very few people, because it was the boom and the bust, and the boom came from people, you know, getting in, making a little money, getting out, not really caring about the process. If I've been to 40 licensed producers of cannabis, if I've talked to 40 or 50 different organizations that actually make the plant, that actually, you know, curate the plant, make medicine out of the plant, I've never met anybody like these guys, which is why I'm really excited that we're teaming up with them, because they actually care about the plant, Paul, which is hard to find. Like, hard to find. When I come down there, it's not like, oh yeah, here's a spreadsheet. Everyone's jacked up about the plant.
We are. We're excited.
Why?
We're
very excited. What's the difference between you and everybody else that I've met? Like, because you guys really do give a shit.
Well, we've been down this road. We were part of the boom and the bust. working under other companies or working with other groups. And so ultimately, you know, we saw the guys get in with the greed, you know, the guys from Bay Street, the guys from alcohol, the guys from the food and beverage industry. We just felt that they weren't doing it right. And so, you know, instead of being a publicly traded company that's answering to these guys, we decided to build a company that only answers to us, the people that know medicine, that know cannabis, understand cannabis, have been end users. Our whole company is made up of people that have been consuming cannabis their whole lives. And so we do care about the plant. You know, terpenes are important to us. Flavonoids are important to us. Picking the plant when it's ripe is important to us. Flushing it, curing it, all these things that, you know, and we can't point the finger at everybody, Dean. You know, there are a few guys out in the market that are really doing it well, but we want to do it better. And, you know, we want to provide better medication at a better price. I think cannabis is extremely unaffordable right now. You know, going from, let's call it the gray market or legacy market, where you don't pay HST on cannabis, and being able to buy ounces for 150 all the way up to 280, you know, we want to come with something that's a little bit more affordable and feasible for people. Right now, you know, the quality stuff is $15, $18, $20 a gram. You buy an ounce and you put tax on that, you're over $500 for your ounce. And so how is that, you know, the program that was instituted by the government, which was access to affordable medication? So, you know, we really look at this as, you know, the rec market's there, it's always gonna be there, but we're really not focused on the recreational market. We're really trying to tailor ourselves towards the medical side, create some brand loyalty, you know, show the product that we have and how it compares to everybody else, and capture the medical side of the market.
When you say medical, I obviously I understand the difference. And I think generally speaking, you don't have to be a cannabis user to know the difference between medical and recreational, right? Recreational, people that just like to smoke a joint at a party, or, you know, people that aren't using it to aid them medically. That's what recreational cannabis is, right? But why is it, why has it been so difficult? Maybe Jess, you could help us understand this. Why has it been so difficult to get those two worlds to come together? Why is it so hard for, you know, because it's prohibitive to go and get your cannabis license, your medical license. We'll get into what Black Rose is doing in just a second, but it's prohibitive. Why is it so difficult to and do those worlds not come together more, the medical and the recreational?
I think Jess made a really good statement when the three of us were together that, you know, a lot of recreational patients are just undiagnosed medical users. Jess, you made that statement, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Absolutely. And I do stand behind that. I think a lot of times we move towards things because we don't understand the underlying issues, right?
Right.
Diagnostically specific issues.
I am that statement.
Yeah, you might not have a prescription that says you need to consume X amount of grams per day in order to be a patient. Yeah. But you know that when you're dealing with imbalance or anxiety or chronic pain or whatever it is that you find yourself at that plant for that reason, in my opinion, is a medical need. But that's because we have an endocannabinoid system. So as humans, how could we not need this plant for what it's scientifically designed for, which is a lock and key mechanism of homeostasis? So everybody
sure
needs
I understood
this plant.
What you just said there. Pretty sure I understood.
It boils down.
Did you get that?
Yeah, you got
I could
something
slow it down for you, baby.
Yes.
So homeostasis meaning that balance. That's exactly what the plant is designed for, right? It's that lock and key balance, and it's however you find that balance. You know, whether it's a tincture or combustion or vaporization or a topical, you're reaching for that plant because deep down intuitively you know that it's going to bring you the balance if it's done in the right way.
In other
so
words,
saying,
my wife likes me better when I'm in other words, my wife likes me better when I'm
absolutely using. Probably because you like yourself better. Right. And if you like yourself better and you're more comfortable in your skin, right, then everybody around you is going to resonate with that. So originally, Dean, you had said, why is it difficult to merge the markets?
Yeah,
I actually think it's a lot easier now than, for example, Paul, when you and I met. Which was what, 9 years ago now? So it's easier now to approach talking about medical cannabis with doctors than I think it's ever been before in Canada. I do think we're moving in a really amazing direction compared to where we were 9 years ago. Because nine years ago, we had to really hunt. And now you can talk to a walk-in clinic and get it.
What, some don't though, right? Like we were talking about that just
some don't.
Some people don't. Like right. There are family doctors, my family doctor, not one of them, but there are family right. doctors out there that go, you know what, I'm still not cool with this for some fucked up reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the best part is you can just Google cannabis clinics and they're everywhere now.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, back in the day, Paul, you remember me lugging around like a briefcase full of paper files and doctor hunting with sandwiches, walking into clinics and trying to pitch them with the 15 minutes I had, like it was a rodeo. You know what I mean? I was like, you need to write prescriptions and you need to write prescriptions, but we needed more people to openly right. say yes to writing those prescriptions. So I'm just saying that funny enough, even though it is, we are in this progressional transition, people are talking about cannabis more. Age groups are talking about it. I'm excited, Paul, you know, that you are a licensed producer on a larger scale, but you're still thinking with a craft mindset. And when I came and gave a tour of your LP before you were licensed, I loved really observing all your rooms and listening to your passion behind it, because that's what I enjoy, right? Like I've toured quite a few different licensed producers and I'm always really excited to see, you know, teams and growers and people that care about it. Because it's not easy to get certified through Health Canada at all.
Yeah.
Like, good for you. Like, congratulations, just even for still having a full head of hair and pulling it off, because oh, it's not easy. Head of hair on, right? Oh, you look great. That's what I'm saying. You're holding it together, brother. You're doing awesome.
Trying.
But there's something to be yeah. said for I find like the craftspeople of the industry, the real,
yeah.
I want to say craftsmen, but craftspeople. You yeah. know, who are the really lovers of the product. I find that they're the ones who are now just entering into the business. And from my experience is people who are starting up storefronts within the last year or two, you know, who didn't, yeah. weren't the debut brands that were getting out there. They're now getting their shake at it. The real enthusiasts and the real lovers of the product are now able to filter in with after all the paperwork and all the bills and all the deposits have been paid. They're finally entering the market now. And that's why I actually trust more the companies that are opening up now and starting up now. And obviously Black Rose, man, I'm already hungry to see what you guys got.
We'll get you registered end of day.
All right.
Yeah.
And you bring up, that's a great point, right? Because it's all like a ratatouille, like the last 5-6 years of cannabis regulations coming down and people coming out with product. And then it's been hit and miss, big misses, big hits. But, you know, you kind of touched on something that we got to, which was the rec and the cannabis, the rec and the medical, which is, I think every rec user uses it basically for medicinal purposes anyway. So why do we even need a license?
That's a very great point.
That's a great question. Yeah. Go ahead.
Who wants it? That's the question.
No, Paul, go ahead. No, Paul, go ahead, please.
Always on Paul. All right.
Come on, Paul.
I mean, here's the reality. I believe that there's two parts to this. I think there should be a medical side, especially as we start transitioning into a global way of doing things. If we did not have the medical side, Canada would not be the first exporting nation in the world. So the way that I see this is that we've done it two ways. If you, Dean, you've been to the facility, you've seen, it looks like Apotex in the back, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so this standard and this global standard that can be recognized had to start on the medical side. Why are they continuing down this path? I do see in the near future that they probably will end up amalgamating both into one. And I think it will eventually have to go down that direction, because we already don't have limitations on personal storage at home. You can keep 1,000 kilos in your house. So, I mean, it's just what you're able to leave your home with. That's the only real difference.
Excuse me? Did you just say I can keep 1,000 kilos of cannabis in my house?
You can, legally. In Ontario, you're able to store
it. How does that work?
I'm writing that down right now.
Yeah. But now let me make this clear. As a medical consumer, you can leave the house with 30 grams of cannabis. Going to retail, you can only purchase 30 grams of cannabis at a time. Whereas on the medical side, you can leave your house with 150 grams of cannabis, and you can carry your 30 gram recreational on top of that. So I can carry 180 grams with me at any given time. Also, when I make a purchase as a medical user from an LP, I can buy my whole monthly allowance. So let's just say you're 3 grams a day times 30 days, that's 90 grams. So you can purchase all of your cannabis in one shot if you wanted to for the month, just like a prescription.
You can when you get it done medically, when you have a medical license and you take that license to someone like yourself and you say, hey, listen, so how do people do that? Because I've heard a lot of people, like I've obviously for years had friends that had, I can't remember the name, it starts with an M, a license.
ATMPR?
That's the one. Where they're an accredited grower, right? Like you can grow plants on behalf of the government for people that have prescriptions. Do you do that as well? Is that something you guys do? Well, someone can go to Black Rose and go, listen, can you grow my plants for me or can you grow my strain?
That ACMPR license is, again, we're talking about the whole program was set up for affordable access to medication.
Right.
And so the way that they've done it is and you mentioned you can have someone grow, that's a designated grower under that license.
Right.
So you can have a designated grower hold two licenses and grow for two people at any given time at one single address. And you can have two designated growers and up to four licenses on one address. I believe Health Canada is in the process of changing that. You are finding people taking advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking at the regulations and the way it is. But Black Rose Organics is a licensed producer. ACMPR is Access Control for Medical Purpose Regulations. Is that right, Jess? Access Control for Medical Purpose Regulations, I believe. Don't hold me to it.
You know what? It's all under the Cannabis Act now.
Yeah, it green is. Card. It's called a green card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those my wife's stepdad has those rules on lock for homegrown too. Like he's got the max, man. He is, and he's, and you say they're trying to clamp down on people taking advantage of it. Yeah, he's taking advantage of it.
Well, but a lot of patients do need to consume a lot of cannabis, right? So I have been part of, you know, working with practitioners in order to ensure people don't become incarcerated because they need to consume whatever 40 grams a day or whatever it might be. So I do love that patients in Canada have the choice to either grow it themselves, mm-hmm. have somebody grow it for them. And obviously, as with everything, it needs to be regulated and checked and whatever, but currently they can still do that. And then also they can order from a licensed producer. You know, like we are in an amazing position because the difference, you know, you had said recreational medical, here's the big difference. Medical needs diversification of intake method. Medical needs transdermal patches. Medical needs tinctures. Medical needs suppositories, right? Recreational doesn't mind drinking bubbly infused pop drinks, right? I would never recommend that for my diabetics.
And may I say recreational can also go suppository too if you're feeling really plucky.
Sure, absolutely. But I'm saying it's more like I don't feel like doing it to have fun. It's like I have cancer and I'm a mother of three and I'm dying of breast cancer. So as much as I'd love to chat about why I need infused deodorant, I just need it, or I need to make it for myself or have somebody make it for me so I have the opportunity to potentially not die. So that's the big, like as a triage nurse, that's where my brain goes. It's like, it's still fun, but then it's also life-changing transformational medicine that we need to get into people at high doses if they're dealing with things like cancer.
Okay, the other thing that I want to add on Jess's comment, just to be clear, is these products are still made in the legacy or gray market. The problem is
there's
no lab testing available with these products. And the whole purpose of creating the licensed producers was so that we are responsible for doing fungal, microbial, pesticides, residual, heavy metals. Yeah. So, you know, we have a specific requirement that has to be met. So when the patient gets that medication, whether it be in the form of flower, cannabis, a deodorant, a transdermal patch, a suppository, a tincture, all of it must be lab tested and approved by Health Canada prior to its release. So, you know, there is that still that difference between what are you getting from an LP versus what are you getting from someone that grows under these personal production licenses that doesn't have standard operating procedures, internal pest management control to prevent powdery mildew or mites.
Right.
You know, and you know, my statement.
But those are just patients consuming their own medicine, right? Like it's different. They're not selling it. They can't legally sell it. Like federally, they can't sell it. Like it's good that there's regulations. It's good that Health Canada is finally getting all these things out. But currently, licensed producers still can't sell suppositories, Rick Simpson oil, transdermal patches. These things still aren't available.
Why not?
They haven't been.
So yeah. Because I had an education in this Rick Simpson oil stuff recently, and the Rick Simpson oil specifically for cannabis or cancer patients, it's a lifesaver for a lot of them, right? Or it's a quality of lifesaver for a lot of them. So when I hear stories like that coming from you, Jess, in the medical industry, and you know the good that cannabis and the plant can do, you know that that they can hyper focus and produce these things for people for that quality of life factor. Why don't they?
Which I
support. Why don't they?
It's just regulation. If they are doing it, it's just regulatory time period. That's all. It's coming out. All these things are coming out. It's amazing. But I'm just saying, at the dispensaries we go to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, a lot of them were actually released a while ago, and a lot of these products are actually making their way to Germany from here. And this was one of the biggest problems we had.
But I'm saying, for Canadian patients right now, for them to go into a dispensary, I haven't, because I just went into a dispensary close to my house. I wasn't able to find suppositories, deodorant. There is a topical.
On the rec
side. I couldn't find it. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So unfortunately, before, you could go into a dispensary and it was geared towards medical patients. I understand it wasn't necessarily regulated through Health Canada, but I'm saying at least patients could go and find the medical access. That was it, right? Sure. Now I understand it's through licensed producers, and that's great. And there are some more titrated towards medical use. I'm just saying it would be great for people to walk into a recreational dispensary, and whether or not they understand they're going for a medical reason, see it as more of a medical side, right? Because it did sort of change that. That's what changed the most with the dispensaries, was just that it went from being like you could only get into a dispensary if you had a medical license, right? And you had, you were there for a medical reason, and they had all these different products. And now I'm excited to see more licensed producers becoming more medically titrated, because currently dispensaries have, you know, infused pops and pre-rolls and stuff, which is great, but it's not
That's bothering to me, that the fact that there's, you know, all these other potentially, you know, cancer related products that could be out there. But can I already buy beer with weed infused in it? Can I buy like sex lube with weed infused into it? That's kind of sad.
Alcohol can't
So no, I don't think it can be yet.
They're pretty close to that. I've seen some pre-ads then for it.
We have a beer formulated as well, that, but it, I mean, it has no alcohol in it.
Right, no, but what he's saying is no matter how you get it in your system, right? If you're using it for medical purposes, it's a crying shame that they can make sex lube for people in, in rec stores. They can do all.
I don't know if those are out. Yeah,
tinctures are out.
Yeah,
right. Tinctures are out, but in the rec market, you can get a tincture, can't you?
Yes.
You can go get a tink and a salve. But those again aren't the THC and CBD levels regulated in everything coming out of a rec store as well?
Correct.
Like it's probably not. Exactly. So like you're getting a medical looking product, but it's rec strength. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's from the fucking store. Weird. Yeah.
Well, there's no cap on the milligrams of CBD. The cap on the rec side's on the THC.
I know, but that's the same thing.
We didn't make the rules.
Exactly. No, it's like we work under the federal regulation and we uphold it, right? So we just keep up to date. And as the regulation change, you know, especially as a nurse, and Paul is a licensed producer, you understand that just as much as I do. Sure. It's a continuously changing market. And it's not worth, in my opinion, complaining about it, as it is more of just like, let's keep focused on where we want to go and what we can operate within right now. And then what we need to do to get to that next level.
Are you telling me to stop that complaining?
Oh, no, not at all. But I'm just saying, we are finally moving in a progressive fashion, I think, in Canada. Mm-hmm. And yes, your licensed producer is dedicated to medical users, Paul. And is there some rec as
there's
well?
We have the license. We just obtained our sales amendment last
week. Okay.
And ultimately, that allows us to sell recreational. But we're really not targeting the recreational market.
No.
If we're going recreational, it would be more for brand awareness. Our focus and our goal is to at least do 90% of our sales on the medical side and help medical patients.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
I guess if that's your platform too, or your basis for doing business is the medical side, you know, you're dealing with some pretty high test plant, right? Like that's kind of where you want to start if you want to push it out to the recreational side. But at the same time, like Chris, you got it. Well, fuck, I'll show you. You got to see some of their plants. It is absolutely incredible.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of like weed porn, if you will, like the crystals and the, like, oh yeah,
dude, it's insanity. So I was going through some of their stuff today. This is the kind of stuff you can get at Black Rose Organics. This is the craft portion of it. You'll love this, Jess. You'll absolutely dig it. If you go to blackroseorganics.com/strains, that's super easy. blackroseorganics.com/strains. They have the complete offering right here. You got the sativas, the indicas, and the hybrids. You have some of your, regular crowd, like the stuff that you would see, some kushes and stuff. But then you get into it. And, you know, the interesting part of most of these strains is how intense they are. Like, it's absolute intensity in 10 cities. Look at this one. Garlic sherbet. It's an indica dominant hybrid, offers marvelous mix birthed from the crossing of GMO and blue sherbet, both strains also premium potent in their own right. However, this cross delivers a delightful flavor along with even better effects. Look at this. It's 30% THC.
Holy, yeah.
Approximately, it depends on the lot. So every time that we grow it, based on vapor pressure deficit in the room, temperature, all that good stuff, just a little variance will change the THC content. So the last batch that we pulled out was 25.6. The next batch looks like it's going to be higher. And we're just kind of tweaking it at the moment. But we anticipate it to be at 30%.
That's like the Shell V power.
We've got another stream that's pretty high as well. We'll be talking about exclusive drops a little later, but we're doing a lot of exclusive drops to our medical patients.
Exclusive drops of strains?
Correct. So we're going to do limited amounts. We do have a lot of pre-rolls going into the market, but you know, when we bag stuff, it goes into glass jars. We only pick the best buds in order to go in the jars, and like the other buds are used for pre-rolls. And so, I mean, we don't put any of the trim leaf into our pre-rolls. It's all bud.
Yeah. Speaking of all bud, what am I looking at here? Because like, let's explain, this isn't, you don't get this kind of feature on other cannabis sites, right? Like other LPs. Other LPs are like, yeah, this is it. And then they got the, you know, the certificate for it and stuff like that. This is what I really love, is that you can see all the crystals.
Oh, I'm going to get you a better one, Dean.
All the beautiful coloring. You can see everything. But what are we looking at here? Explain what we're looking at, Paul.
Right now, you're looking at trichome production. I mean, the thing in Canada is when you go into the dispensary, you can't see or touch the product.
Yeah.
Same with buying online. So, you know, the closest we can get is a macro shot onto the cannabis itself, allowing you to look at the trichomes, which basically show the ripeness of the plant. Mm-hmm. That's also where the THC is produced.
Those are the crystals.
Those are the crystals that you see. Yeah.
Look at these.
I got a weird question.
Yeah.
I got a weird question for you, Paul. What if I was to take a pair of tweezers and pick off all of the orange hairs, all the trichomes and everything, and then smoke that?
You'd be, what am I looking hash at? You'd be smoking.
That's what.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, that's what they make. Just the red hairs.
Compressed hash. That's all it is. If you were to play with all of those inside your fingers, it would eventually start turning into hash.
Interesting. Okay.
Not that I would know, but you know, when you're
finger hash or whatever, like when
finger hash. Yeah, when you're crushing up like a bud and you got all the crystals and your fingers get tacky, that tackiness is actually the beginnings of hash. And I think if you sat there and did that more and more and more, you'd probably get, you know, a nice film of hash across your fingers, and then you can go to work and lick your fingers and all that other stuff. But it's incredible. What's that?
I had a buddy who had a press where he could, he took all the crystals and he'd press them into little coins, little hash coins.
Oh yeah. Pretty the cool. Old hash coins. Yeah. Which is interesting because, you know, we talk hash, and I'm pretty sure Paul and the gang of Black Rose are doing some stuff with the guys at Hashco, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? That
is correct. Hashco actually released a press release a few weeks ago. We're in a joint venture partnership with Hashco, and they're producing all of their all of our hash products on site, including live rosin and Moroccan, blonde, Afghani, quite a few variants of hash.
Can you believe we're actually having this conversation?
I know, it's so mind-blowing. I'll always forever be looking over my shoulder. Like if I'm smoking a joint outside,
That's because we got to get you a prescription. You need to talk to me and then you won't be looking over your shoulder, because the deal is once you medicalize a patient, you do relieve a lot of the post-traumatic stress disorder that comes with the fact that potentially you've been consuming for 20 years and having to hide it, right? Like, I think that for me is what's so rewarding and what has been my mission to protect Canadians in Canada, is to ensure that they don't feel like they need to look over their shoulder for a plant that we are physiologically designed to live with, right? So I think that's kind of the most amazing part about being in Canada, is that at least we do support our patients in that realm. So I would love to, you know, I always tell people, even if you don't know if your doctor's on board with it, still ask them, because the more they're approached by it and the more they have people inquiring, the more likely they are to write a 1-gram, 2-gram prescription, right? If not, you know, call me, call Paul. There's clinics everywhere. There's lots of doctors that are really on board with seeing the transformation that cannabis can have in patients' lives. And so I'd love to talk further with you, Chris, if you'd like to dive into that, because I don't think people should live with that paranoia, you know?
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, she just stuffed your anxiety in a fucking locker.
I hope.
Yeah, well, there's part of me that likes sneaking around too, though, like in a secret agent.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's your thing. Yeah, that's cool too. Hey, whatever. Yeah, whatever you enjoy.
Jessica Ferniehoe, she's an RPN and huge into cannabis as a medicine, being able to identify what you need, being able to work with both the medical and the traditional medical side and this side as well. Paul Sadu from Black Rose Organics, Chris Bodden joins us too. We talk Craft Plus. Is that what we were looking at? What is Craft and Craft Plus? Because Chris said this earlier. He's like, it's so cool seeing so many different people that love the plant kind of wait out that wave of anxiety that came with the first couple of years of legalization, come into the business, much like Black Rose Organics. You're an exact example of that. But what is Craft? What is Craft Plus?
Well, I kind of coined the term Craft Plus because everybody else keeps calling themselves Craft. And so what I want to do is just have a little dialogue about what we feel is Craft Plus. Mm-hmm. So Craft Plus is grown in rooms that are less than 1,000 square feet. So they get individual hands-on attention. We're talking about plants that are grown with some of the best methodology, strictest standards. When we flush for 14 days. Flushing is the process of having the plant cannibalize the nutrients in it. This allows for a smooth smoke along with white ash, which is really what you're looking for when you're consuming. Dark ash means it wasn't flushed properly. You're basically burning nutrients that were left over in the plant. Mm. And then after that, we do a hand dry. And after that, we go into a curing process where we find that a lot of people are wet trimming and then curing for like 6-7 days and then sending the product off. You know, cannabis is like a fine wine. It has to be aged a little in order to get that smell up, or, you know, what we in the industry call terpenes. And so the curing process is just as important as the growing process. So we do a minimum 2-week cure to make sure that you're getting, you know, as per the legacy market, the dankest bud that we can possibly give you.
I love it.
That's got to be in your reading materials. So
the white smoke is key. That's interesting. I never heard that. The white smoke means you're getting the real refined.
The white ash. The ash.
The white ash. Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ash.
That means your stuff's good. It's super clean. And, yes. And the process of bringing that to that point, it was done properly. Right. Correct. What is, explain, because I heard this thing the other day. It was a term called irradiation.
Yes.
And I know there are a lot of LPs that do this. I know you don't. I know that this is really important to Black Rose Organics, because every time I come down there and have Turkish coffee with you and the crew and we sit and bandy about great ideas, that word seems to come up all the time. And it's a point of pride for you guys.
It is. So I won't be calling out any companies here, but I'll just be very, very straight about part of the reason why we decided to go the route that we went I was a medical patient. I purchased product from an LP. That product smelled like musky basement. That's the only word I have for it. It smelled like your basement was flooded and you just tried to dry it up. And now it has that dank smell, like nasty, nasty smell to it. And I found out, and I did some research, and I found out that that company irradiates their product. And irradiation is the process of hitting the cannabis with gamma rays to kill any mold spores or bugs or any bacterial components that would be in there. It's like microwaving the cannabis. And it's used. Cold pasteurization is already used in the milk industry. It's not anything new. It's actually something that's quite common in food and beverage. But with cannabis, when you hit cannabis with gamma rays, it affects the terpenes, which is the smell. It affects the flavonoids. It affects CBD levels, THC levels. All of these things and components get changed. For me personally, I did not want to smoke something that had mold spores in it. Even if the spores are killed, I still don't want to consume that. Mm-hmm. And so one of our mandates is we are not going to irradiate our product. If for some godforsaken reason we were to fail a microbial, a fungal, or anything like that, we would just destroy the lot. Because who wants to consume that? I think irradiation is a cheap method for anybody that doesn't know how to grow cannabis. And so it's like, I can grow as garbage as I want, but then if I irradiate it, I can sell it to the general public and medical patients.
You're shocking it.
You are. Well,
no, you're not, but I'm saying.
Which was Health Canada's standard, though. Yeah, licensed producers were doing this, Paul. At one point that I was told that licensed producers had to irradiate their cannabis because that was the standard.
It's always been a choice. It's publicly traded.
People don't know this, right?
Yeah, so publicly traded companies will have a hard time explaining to shareholders why they are destroying crop on the books. And so for companies like that, the big players, it works well for them. They're never going to have to destroy any crop. They don't take losses. But let's be honest, for a medical consumer, I don't want that in my body. I don't want something that's been hit with gamma rays. I don't want dead mold spores to enter my body. I have asthma, so I'm totally against it.
Okay. Okay, because I remember just like 6 years ago or something, we were told that they were irradiated in order to work for immunocompromised patients to ensure that that was a standard. And just, I'm a nurse, so I focus on access to cannabis for medically regulated purposes, the ACMPR, the MMPR, AR, whatever it is, the standard and label of what we're in. I know what the rules are for their applications and the patients, but I didn't understand what the regulation for licensed producers was. And I was told at one point that all LPs were irradiating and that was a standard they had to follow. So that's refreshing to hear because I was told that that was what they interpreted as necessary for patient care. So that's interesting.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Paul. I got a batch of stuff that smelled weird a couple of times right when it first became legal, like right in the first few months or whatever. I was severely disappointed in the product right out of the gate, for sure.
I have friends, same thing, right? And then all of a sudden you started to hear, you know, just go, this is, and I know we're having a business conversation and I know we're partners, but I have to say this, is that I started to hear my friends that were, you know, that left the legacy market when it went into the legal market and then said, this is bunk. I can't smoke that stuff because it doesn't taste like what I used to smoke. It doesn't affect me like my old smoke. And it's really a pain in the ass to get it. Now, I know it's a lot easier to get your cannabis now, depending on where you are and stores that are nearby. And I know there's a lot of delivery in the pandemic has changed stuff, but that's a quality thing. Like you're talking about a pretty big deal if as far as I'm concerned, because all I hear in there is before you send it out, you know, this was the past practice, it seems like, by the majority.
Zap it.
Before you send it. Yeah, exactly. Kill it.
Yeah, that's, again, I would talk to cheap, but, you know, look at fine wine. There's stuff in the market that's $6, $7 a gram. Like, and cannabis has always been like wine. You get what you pay for. You can buy the high-end stuff or you can buy the low-end stuff. What I'm trying to do is give you a fine wine at an affordable price. Oh. I think that's the best way to do it.
How are you doing that? That's an important thing because not only is it high test, the stuff that Black Rose does, not only is it super, super clean, and not only is it craft plus, but you also want to get people their medicine effectively and for much less than they would normally pay for it using the same process elsewhere.
You absolutely nailed it. We actually have two ways to accommodate this. One is if you're registered as a medical patient at Black Rose, you're already saving $6 or $7 per gram from retail level just because you're a medical patient. And then we have another program that we'll be launching within the next few months. And that program is going to allow medical patients to buy cannabis between $100 and $220 for an ounce of cannabis. And so the objective is right now, you know, I know. The objective is that right now, you know, you've got 80% of the market still going to the legacy market. And we had the dialogue earlier about affordable medication. You know, the only way that we're going to be able to shift consumer sentiment is to be able to get them the medication at a better or same quality that they're getting it already at the same or better price, but being able to support our product with the lab testing to show what they're putting in their body. And that's the only way we're going to get that transition to get that 80% to convert to buying it legally.
Jess, is that a, you know, we're talking about cost involved in helping people get relief. It is still cost prohibitive for a lot of people, is it not? And this is kind of something that, you know, to have the forethought to be able to say, okay, we're going to produce the best cannabis in the world, but how can we, you know, and instead of just saying that, how can we get people the medicine they need? Because I'm sure you work with a lot of different people that can't afford, you know, little or any cannabis.
You know, it's so different now, like, because with legalization, people being able to grow four of their own plants, as well as like companies like, you know, licensed producers like Paul, like what you're doing and focus programs and more insurance companies like Blue Cross and things like that, covering medical patients' medicine. I have seen some really amazing breaks, to be honest. Like, I guess I'm always just comparing it to when I started, where it was really expensive, hard to find, unregulated. Like, it was just, it was the Wild West. So even getting into it medically, people were like, what are you doing with your career? You're a drug dealer. I'm like, and yeah, I'm trying to help people not lose their children from Family and Children Services, because they've realized that, you know, a couple of puffs ensures that they're not alcoholics and you know what I mean? Absent-minded and living with chronic pain. That was really, you know, that was the focus. So in a lot of ways, I do think price matters to chronically ill patients and situationally specific financial strain, especially during the pandemic and for patients that have been living with a lot of stress. Right. But again, everybody's walking different paths. I think now is such an amazing time for us to be like, linking with companies like licensed producers that really care about patients, that not only give it a financial support, but they also link patients to, maybe they got their prescription at one clinic, but they need to now work with a nurse like myself to do patient-centered care, where we can coach each other and I can do sliding scales and we can work with where they're at financially. And I just think patients have more opportunity now than ever to be working with companies and nurses and health practitioners that are more on board and supporting them, as opposed to having to come at it really defensively, you know? And even insurance companies are starting to cover it a lot more, which is also a huge relief. So I love hearing about that, Paul. Like, I love that you're gonna be able to not only make it a phenomenal quality, so if they're already immunocompromised patients, that they're not stressed about having this medicine, so they can only use a little bit. Because you know me, I'm like, consume more, get in more into you. Chances are, you know, you're not consuming enough because you haven't tried different intake methods. And especially when we're dealing with, like, for example, patients like pediatric patients, right? Like, that's, we're not even touching on that right now. Like, there's so many different demographics that are sick with different ailments that need different intake methods and different coaching. And that's why I'm just honored to continue to be a part of it in Canada. And I really just feel like we're just scratching the surface in where we're going to be in the next 5 years even.
Yeah, I feel that too. I feel like we had the first few years of the craziness, and I feel like we're settling into the purpose of legalization. Which is to be able to help people, which is to be able to get people the medicine they need, and making it a little bit easier and cost effective is part of that process, right? If you really do care about the plant and the patient, like you guys talk about, and it's something you, if you go to Black Rose and if you talk to Jess or you talk to Paul or anybody involved in the process of producing this for people, there's more need than just let's get a bunch of product out. the need is.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's focus our attention on areas where we can fill a void. And that void is pretty big because it's all been about financial to this point, right? And so to be able to, you know, work from a position of strength, which is you love the plant, you love the people, you're both, you know, medically aware of what the plant can do for people. But on the recreational side, you know, that's something that comes later. It all kind of fits together, but your aim is true is what I'm saying, Paul, which is really, really refreshing. If you've been throughout this industry, the guys at Black Rose Organics actually give a shit, which is incredible.
I appreciate that. Yeah. We spent quite a bit of time. And I mean, like I said, I've worked with a lot of companies. I was an independent consultant for a while before I settled here, but, you know, we've been there, and, you know, my biggest statement to this is always about these parties that we go to when before COVID, obviously the cannabis parties, and you've got the CEOs from big alcohol and food and beverage, and you go to their parties and not one person is consuming the plant. They're all drinking alcohol and popping bottles of champagne, but not one person at these parties was actually consuming the plant. And so for me, I find it odd to go to a cannabis themed party by a cannabis company and there's no cannabis present. So I found that to be a bit of a right. shock.
Well, some licensed producers, I know. Yeah, they couldn't. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
there are a couple of licensed producer gatherings we went to, but you couldn't legally unless you were a patient.
Our whole company is made up of medical patients, you know?
Everything you just described, yeah. Paul, is like soulless. Like on their behalf, right? I was just like, I'm shocked at that. You could go to a big cannabis party and there's no cannabis present.
Correct. Like,
I would expect it to be like, have, you know, they have the chocolate fountains at parties and stuff, and you can go, it should be a weed fountain, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Problem is, though, it's an insurance regulation. So on a corporate level, it's not, yeah. It's just, I don't need people drinking from the, you know what I mean? Like, it's more just like, how do you manage the masses and how do we make sure nobody, like, you know? So it's more just a regulatory insurance thing.
But that's fucked too, if you ask me. Like, you know, you're a cannabis company. Cannabis is by far and away a much healthier substance than anything else. Like, it doesn't, alcohol will kill you, but for Christ's sake. And I don't get upset with people who drink. I love it. I love the fact that people can drink. I don't. I found a replacement therapy, at least that's what I call it. And I know if I've gone to a party and had 10 beers or gone to a party and smoked a joint, I know that after I've had 10 beers, I'm an idiot. Like, just an idiot, right?
I've got to agree.
And
yeah, for me,
that you are too, or that I'm an idiot. Are
we both? I am too. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, and my background is Indian, so like we are not supposed to eat meat, drink, smoke, do any of that. When I was younger, and you know, I got in trouble for cannabis. My dad found out. You know, he was persuading me like, you should start alcohol. Forget cannabis. You know, drink alcohol. I know you're not of age, but at least it's socially acceptable in our community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I have to explain to
him. And that's just it. It's just the stigma.
Yeah. I was like, Dad, if you gave me as much alcohol as I could drink in a room full of guys, we're beating the crap out of each other. I'm like, you put me in a room with as much cannabis as we can all smoke. We're not going to remember everyone's name, but we're coming out laughing in friends.
And full.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a difference between poison and medicine, right? One, you can have an alcohol, you know, like you can actually overdose on alcohol and kill yourself. Whereas with cannabis, you can consume as much as you want, but you won't die. Scientifically, nobody's ever died from cannabis. You know, I think we talked about that. It might feel like you're going to die.
It's 7,000 joints in 10 minutes you need in order to actually.
You're not going to die. Right, because you have an endocannabinoid system. So it's different. Like with opiates, you can overdose and die, right? We don't have an opiate cannabinoid system. We don't have, you know what I mean? We have an endocannabinoid system, so we can take in as much cannabis as we want. Right?
Is that why people don't
overdose? So there is a big difference.
We've got an endocannabinoid system within ourselves that matches up cellularly with the cannabinoids that are in the plant. Is that why? Because I've heard the term greened out before. I've never experienced it. I know I've never overdosed from it. And one time I ate a cookie that probably looked like it weighed 2.5 pounds. So like, you know, it's never negatively affected my life. Mind you, I don't use it like a medicinal patient uses it, right? I'll have a puff before I go to bed, and that's pretty much it. And when I'm out, when I'm hanging out and I go to a party, if I'm not drinking because I don't drink, I'll take a couple of pints with me that have cannabis in them, or infused beverages, or I'll take some product with me, like a vaporizer, or I'll take some shatter with me, and I'll enjoy myself just as much as everybody else.
You just have to find what works for you. Evidence-based practice is coming out. We are doing more continuous research, right? We're in, that's what I mean by we are in a good place. So for anybody to give you a definitive answer without evidence-based practice, it's just blowing in the wind, right? The point is just what we've learned up until this point and the evidence that we have up until this point have not documented a case of somebody overdosing on cannabis and dying. Now, it doesn't mean that cannabis, just because you're not going to die from it because you can't OD, doesn't mean that it's right for everyone. That's another thing as a nurse. Like, a lot of people assume because I specialize in cannabinoid therapy that I'm just saying everybody and their brother should be consuming it until they're green in the face. Like, that is not the case. There's some people that just do not work well with cannabis, whether it's topically, orally, combustionally, whatever, however you use it, that particular plant does not work for them. So it's about, for me, it's about working in complement. It's a complementary medicine to work in conjunction with other, you know, whether their pharmaceutical regime is going well for them or they're going through radiation or chemo. It's working with in conjunction with these other treatments to really make cannabis do what I think it does best, which is to work as a complementary component, if not a full and total treatment, right? So if they can't take it all the time, even little bits will activate their endocannabinoid system and bring them a lot of relief behind whatever it is that they're facing diagnostically, specifically.
What's the endocannabinoid system?
What is it? In your body? Like the pathophysiological makeup? Well, I don't know. It's your endocannabinoid system. I don't really know how to explain that, Paul. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? What is it? It's your EC.
You know, it's
the receptors. There we go. There. Receptors. That's a better way to put it. Yeah.
And just to be clear, so like I can give you a quick explanation that actually kind of explains how it works as well. So this is a receptor size in your body. When you eat an edible, a molecule is like this big.
This is my receptor size, by the way.
Yeah. There you go. So
what's an average receptor size? Is it 6 inches? Is that the average receptor size? Or?
Anyway, receptor. We'll just add this out. You got a receptor. Yeah.
So what ends up happening is the molecule is too big for the receptor. So as your body breaks down the molecule, which usually takes 45 minutes to 2 hours, your body starts getting high off of the cannabis that you ate. It starts reacting and this psychoactive property start breaking down through your liver. So when you eat an edible, you've got to break them all down. There's another process called nanotization. This is more on topicals and stuff, but basically they take that molecule and they break it down into a million smaller sizes. So the uptake on something like that is much quicker. Instead of 45 minutes, maybe it's 15. And it hits you harder.
Because it's not going through your liver.
Well, it is.
Right, because already depending on the toxicity.
Correct.
Right.
So what ends up happening is they've actually been doing studies that nanotization for edibles may not be good for the human body because it is going so quickly through your liver. Your liver doesn't have the time to process it. But on the flip side of nanotization, if I were to make an ointment, a cream, or a salve to put on my hands, when I put that on top, sometimes you put on cream on your hands and you get this oily residue that stays on top of your hands. That's because you're not getting skin penetration. Skin penetration is one of the hardest things to do when you're creating a salve or any type of ointment. And so if you nanotize that salve, within a minute, you'll find that there's no residue left on your fingers. So when you're making a product with CBD, let's say, you're getting actually full saturation of the CBD versus non-saturation. So the endocannabinoid receptor is the receptor that's taking in all the cannabinoids. And again, we are talking about like flavonoids, THC, and all of them put together create the entourage effect. But that's the system that is bringing in everything into your body. And real quick, I want to note that some of these receptors only open up when the body is ready for it. Oddly enough, when a woman has breast cancer, the endocannabinoid receptors in her breast open up only when she has cancer. That's correct, right, Jess?
Wow. Is that true?
I need to check that. I've never heard that.
I've spoken.
With breast cancer, we've always used Rick Simpson oil in suppository form, vaginally and rectally, to really deal with the cancer. And then we made deodorant for our patients so they can deal with activating and supporting their lymphatic system. Now, I've never heard that before, but I'll check it because I can't speak to
that's
that.
That's what I've been hearing is that those receptors tend to open up when there's cancer present, i.e. opening up right. to take medication.
Mm. Right, whereas I just have under the understanding that at any point your body is open and ready to be activated.
I'm talking about specifically right? in the breast for breast cancer.
Yeah, no, that I don't know. I'll check. Because I've never heard that. I've just always, people just come to me and say, okay, I got breast cancer, let's deal with it. We're like, okay, rub this cream on your breast, put it in your armpits. You know what I mean? Suppositories, tinctures.
Does that work? Have you seen it?
I've seen women who've had lumps in their breasts for 15 years after 6 months of working with deodorant and topicals and suppositories, the lumps are gone. And that is where we follow up with, that's why research and development is everything that I stand on. It's the foundation of who I am as a nurse. The only reason I'm in this field, you know, is not only to change lives, but also to accumulate more research and development so more people can understand it, you know, because these things are happening. And so that's why I've been doing what I've been doing, because we didn't have the paperwork or the proof, but we had people that were dying that were willing enough to try these different intake methods. Mm-hmm. And Paul, you know about that.
Oh, I do.
Like patients have had to do what they needed to do to stay medicated and stay legal in Canada. And that means you have to take some risks. That means you have to try things that haven't been tried, right? So I'm excited that there's more product and more regulation behind these things that are coming through. Yeah, I support all of it. You know that.
We've got tinctures being made next week. We've got NNCPs and SOPs being made for the transdermal patches and the suppositories. We're working with nursing homes across Canada. And we're working directly with the doctors that are prescribing medication in those nursing homes to figure out adequate dosing for those people. Now, part of the reason why we're talking transdermal and suppository patches, again, bypassing the liver, avoiding the psychoactive properties while getting all the cannabinoids into your system.
Right. Good and for depending you, so on the patient as well, because some people will use topicals, transdermal patches, suppositories, things like that. And the idea is that they're synthesized around the liver, but they do get very high. And that's what I've learned, that even though it's not as high as if I was to eat an edible, right? I could give a patient a transdermal patch or a suppository and they are just snowed, like so high. And I'm like, how'd that happen? I thought, she's like, you told me I wasn't going to get high. I'm like, well, I wasn't thinking you were going to get high. How much Rick Simpson oil did you put in your back door? Like, what are we dealing with? You know what I mean? Whereas, and you know, I could give that to somebody else and they're like, I don't feel anything. I drove the kids to school. I feel amazing. Like, you know what I mean? And they're in a whole other, so it's tricky because I think that's why for so long, so many practitioners were afraid to touch it because it wasn't like, take this pill 3 times a day. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe do this. I don't know what intake method to give you. So we're really playing with that, I think, is understanding dosages.
You know, it's kind of fun though, isn't it? Like, it's fun to play with dosages for crying out loud.
You know? Well, I think that's medicine in general.
Sure. This is safe. This is safe to figure out your own dosage too, right? Like this, that's the thing about playing around with this plant is you can't take too much of it, right? If you take too much and you get, as you pointed out, snowed, big deal. A few hours later. Exactly. You'll have a great sleep. The other stuff, not so much, but I understand the space with the other stuff too. It's just, it's interesting because, you know, I think about what you just said and I'm like, well, why can't we transfer that to the rec market if that's the case? It's just bizarre.
You know, when you look at stuff like gummies, like, you know, I'm a medical patient. I can take 200 milligrams with my eyes closed, but then you've got people that can only consume 5 or 10 milligrams, or if that, maybe 2 or 3 milligrams, you know, white collar people that are just trying medical cannabis or even recreational cannabis for the first time. And that 10 milligrams is like tequila if you've never had it, you know, like when you're a kid and you try tequila. I haven't touched tequila since I was 14, 15 because of the experience I had. Right. And so what I am finding is a lot of people are taking these 10 milligrams and because they've never consumed cannabis, they have a horrible experience. And they're like, I will never touch cannabis again, edibles again.
Right.
For those people specifically.
And that's where I come in.
Well, we've created a low and slow line.
Because I want to teach people. Yeah.
Jess, we've created a low and slow line and it's 1 milligram gummies, 10 gummies in a packet. You figure out your dosage. Yeah, try one. The next day, try two. Great. The next day, try four. And then you know exactly where you're at. So the next time you buy a 10 milligram gummy, maybe you're cutting it in half instead of falling asleep.
You should always cut it in half. in general. That's what I say. No matter what, even if it looks like it's small, cut it in half.
I would
because
never
chances
party
are,
with
if you're that new.
What were you saying, Dee?
Yeah. Well,
I'd never
you know,
party with any of those people.
You might, though.
No.
You might.
The low
you
and slowers?
The whole deal is that, well, but you have to go low and slow if you're new to anything.
Sure.
Right?
That's the
like
thing.
It
right.
is, it's a gracious way and people should feel supported. And that's my job. This is education. And it's instilling lifelong practices that we can not only teach our children about, but that we can use ourselves.
Right.
You know, and I love that you're doing that. I think it's important that licensed producers and producers of cannabis and things like that do set people up for success. Right. But it is about learning your own balance because that's what life is. What's your moderation? How to take it all in and enjoy yourself. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all about gam gam for low and slow.
What's the gam gam?
My gam gam, Nana.
Oh, does she have it? Does she
like
the cannabis too?
She'll do a low and slow. Oh yeah, she'll indulge in the low and slow.
She's a smoker? Yeah. Is grandma a smoker or is she an
no, she likes the creams on her hands for the arthritis.
Yeah.
And but I think she could be convinced to do a low and slow for sure.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? Like right. Even figuring out dosage is fun.
or dosage.
Well, and that's why I say get a journal.
Yeah.
Yeah, get a journal and write it down. When you start taking it, if it's new for you and you want to know how it's going to work and you'd like to create consistency, you have to write it down. And then it helps your healthcare professionals as well. Whether you're talking to a nurse like myself for mm-hmm. cannabis coaching or you're working with your doctor, the more information you can give them, the better for everybody, again, to sort of invest in our research and development as Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Just a note on that. You guys were talking earlier about how there were no clinics and there are so many now. Health Canada has actually set a guidelines and there's a course for doctors on learning how to prescribe cannabis that's recommended by Health Canada for doctors prior to prescribing. So Dean, you and me have the same issue. Like my doctor, my family doctor refused to register cannabis for me. But at that time, there was no guidelines for registering. Mm-hmm. So it was like how Jess was saying, it's like a shot in the dark. I can register this or that. They really didn't know. But with the new guidelines that were released in the course that's available, you're going to find a lot more of these doctors coming online and prescribing medical cannabis.
Want to get to
feeling more confident.
Well, yeah, it's huge for people, right? It's to understand what you're doing and to have medical professionals come alongside. It's huge. If you understand the plant and the relief you can get from it, on the front page of the Black Rose site, you've got this thing that says if you're licensed, you want people to come there and do business with you, right? And I'm telling you, I've dealt with a lot of different people. And if you have a license and you want to take your license somewhere, I highly, highly, even after this conversation, and we're going to have way more of them because we've partnered with the folks at Black Rose. So it's our job. And we've done it because they're the best in the business that I've met. And they only want you to have the best products and they want you to have healthy products as well. And they've got people like Jess around to make sure that everybody's talking to everybody about not just the altruism behind what they're trying to do when it comes to the quality of the plant, but getting people licensed medically. What's that process like if someone's got a license? How can they get a hold of you, Paul?
Well, they can always go on blackroseorganics.com and fill out a request form. And they can get transferred or they can send it into info@blackroseorganics.com mm-hmm. stating what LP they're with and getting transferred. Even new patients, we've got a very simplified process. It's all done through Zoom. It only takes a few minutes to get done, getting registered. There's a patient intake form as soon as you register. That goes back to the doctor. The doctor sets up a Zoom call, less than 5 minutes. Just going through your patient intake form, what they're prescribing for, your method of intake. And so once they've done that, they get registered and then we do everything on the back end. One of our people reach out directly to the patient, someone like familiar with cannabis, maybe not as familiar as Jessica, who's supposed to be working with us soon.
Well, hey, I'm ready, baby. Send it to me. Let me know. But having that one-on-one coach, yeah.
Yeah, having that one-on-one coach to talk about titration, talk about the different methods of intake, setting up a program to get them through the month that is not just purchasing cannabis to combust, as well as looking at bath bombs or looking at tinctures, using all methodology and figuring out how that worked for them with a follow-up every 30 days and looking at alternative methods if that one didn't work, and gradually tweaking the process so the patients found something. And then on our end, it's our job to be consistent with the product and be able to replicate it over and over, so that every time the patient gets the combustible product versus, you know, stuff that's manufactured that we can be exact with over and over again. But the flower, making sure the consistency and quality stay true to our brand, as well as what the patient has already tried, so that it's not changing medication last minute. Also, the strains that we bring to market, we guarantee them for at least 5 years, ultimately, because as a patient, I had an issue where I found a medication that worked for me, and 3 months into that being with that LP, they stopped producing it. And so it was a wild goose chase trying to find the product again.
I remember that. I remember that with tinctures, when tinctures first came out.
Yeah.
And people were just so heartbroken because, yeah, once you find something you like and you've found that equilibrium that you've hunted for so long, and you're dealing with chronic pain or cancer or insomnia or IBS or Crohn's or colitis, like whatever it might be, when you find something that works, you don't want to lose it.
No. No, and so we want to make sure that we have some sustainability on all of our SKUs and products to make sure that they're not going to be here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah, well, it might be nice too, if you have those 5 years, they find a good tincture and you say, listen, you know, 5 years is up, this is the next best, or this would be equivalent to what you've been consuming for the last 5 years.
Yeah,
right?
That's just the bare minimum, Jess. It was just a commitment that we made internally. We looked at issues we had as patients, and it was like, how do we address these issues? And the first one was lack of a consistent supply of the same medication over and over.
Right. Yeah. Great.
That's a big deal. That's a huge deal for people. Everybody's got like, oh, my favorite strain is this, I like this kind of strain. But when you really boil it down to why people like us use the plant, we use the plant because it gives us this consistent relief in a certain area. Right. Correct. And when that disappears, or, you know, when, and I, you know, I'm, and
you
again,
need a new intake.
Bingo, or something happens in the market and that company doesn't exist anymore. It's devastating for people, right?
It is
devastating.
It is. And I mean, consistency, again, you've got to think about it like this. How much consistency can you continue to provide it? And if you're not providing the same product over, like for me, I have allergies. Like, oddly enough, I'm allergic to cannabis. I have ragweed and pollen allergies.
I've seen you power through that though, bud.
Yeah, I choose to power through. But
really see you working. Yeah.
I have a strain that I know I'm not allergic to. It's a pre-92 DJ Short Blueberry. I had the strain. I lost the strain. It's been six years. I've never been able to refine that exact strain. So, I mean, it's important to make sure that the medication continues to stay available.
Well, we're really proud to be working with the folks over at Black Rose Organics. And of course, just incredible to have Jessica here to kind of explain, you know, the end result and what it's like to go looking for more information. So go to Black Rose Organics today, blackroseorganics.com. You can get registered as a patient right there. You can sign up. You can check out their shop, all their strains as well. Again, blackroseorganics.com. They've got products coming out. We've got products coming out with them. We'll get to that in the coming days and weeks and months. But we couldn't be more excited to be working, not just with Black Rose Organics, but also have a Sherpa in the industry known as Nurse Jessica Ferniehoe to be able to kind of hold her hand throughout this.
Never been called a Sherpa before.
Well, that's right, baby. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I like it.
But you got to get to the top of the mountain somehow, and you need someone to help you with that. How can people get a hold of you if they've got questions, not just about getting registered as a patient, not just about cannabis as a whole in their life, but the safety of it and the difference it can make in their lives? How can people get a hold of you, Jess?
So you can find me on my website at nursejessica.info. And then I'm on Instagram as nursejessicaRPN, and I'm on Facebook. So you can find me on my website, nursejessica.info. Just reach out, send me an email. I'm old school. I love phone calls. You know, if we want to do a video call, great. But I find that I often do more phone calls than anything, because then we can just smoke weed. Nobody's looking. We're just chatting. And then I do a lot of, lately, I've just been doing a lot of like hour coaching sessions, which is really amazing. It's very transformative. I'm really enjoying
what is that?
How things are shifting. To coach, like to do a session with me for an hour.
Who are you coaching?
My patients. So many different patients with so many different needs, you know, like if they're, whether they're new to it or they've been a veteran for the last 20 years, there does come a point, and you know this, I'm sure, Chris, as well, when your one intake method, remember we were talking about hitting the bong? Like after a while, you're like, I don't really want to hit this bong anymore. Like I love it, but I also don't love it. And there's pieces of this bong hitting that like feel a little like, I don't know, dirty. Just like not where I want to go, right? Yeah, dirty, whatever, grimy. You know, everything after a while, if it's not shiny anymore, you're like, ugh. I gotta wash this. Yeah. So, but sometimes I don't like vapes either. So I'm just, you know, making that wheel is what I make with my patients, is to get those other methods and to try to integrate them. And whether I'm linking them to Black Rose or we're just talking about the medicine they have currently or whatever it is, it's about really going deeper into your cannabis care. But then we also go even further than that. We not only talk about cannabis, we talk about some of the underlying issues of why we're looking for the medicine we're looking for and where we want to go with it.
It's a very holistic approach. I like it. That's that's what coaching is. That's now I understand.
People seem to like it. So far, so good. You know, so it's only getting better. Yeah, only getting better with age.
And Chris, whose blood type is THC, thanks for doing this, brother. And listen to Chris in Barrie. If you're heading up to Cottage Country, if you live up there, B101 is the name of the radio station. He and Mel do a terrific job, and you can also check out his latest podcast with James DeFiore.
Good chat.
Which I thought was great. I saw a little picture of you and James, and he was wearing a hat and you weren't. And I'm like, thank God, because two totally bald dudes in the same podcast.
As soon as he showed up with
I like bald. Bald is sexy.
Well, then you'll
bald
love
is sexy, baby.
Yeah, you'll love half of our
producers. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
But guys, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Paul Sadu from Black Rose Organics, Jessica Ferniho, an RPN and cannabis handholder. And of course, Chris Bodden from the Big Chris podcast, DeanBlundell.com as well. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great day.
Awesome. Everybody. Thanks, Dean.
All right, guys. Take care, thanks Chris. So much.
Ciao.
Bye. Guys, thanks for doing this.
No problem. It's just me.
Say hello.
Hi. How you doing? All right. Well, we should probably move on from the domestic dispute discussions.
Okay. She can't hear any of the words except for my words. So,
right. Okay. Well, we're good then.